KTRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's Friday afternoon. I know it's Friday because I'm here with Darcia Stebbins.
And, good afternoon, Kenny.
This is where we always are on Fridays these days. A lot of stuff to talk about. We got about 1,000 pounds of you-know-what to try to get into a 5-pound bag today. Darcia actually beat me here this afternoon, so she's it's in the true. Driver's seat.
Right on top of it today. Actually, I'm quite a bit behind. It is a very it's tax season for accountants and CPAs and people that we find ourselves in computing tax returns and trying to follow a system that is completely illogical, it's irrational.
It's weed and snake abatement season for ranchers and farmers.
So when I have to listen to myself explain something that is unexplainable, I always have to preface it by, this is where we're at today. Here's the code as it exists today. Things haven't been codified since 1954. And we just keep adding and subtracting and modifying, and you end up with a tax code that literally at this point is untenable. So it is what it is. I can say that personally, we have a lot to learn about our country, how it was founded, what was intended, and I would like to get back to how it was intended to be. And I'm looking at all of the fraud, waste, abuse, everything that's going on when taxpayers are being asked for more and more of their money to be allocated to taxes, 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 taxes. In fact, I have a meme. I'll get to it, Kenny. But every single day we're hearing about how we are not paying our fair share. And when we find out more and more where our fair share is going, and I would just, the saying, you know, how much of my earnings are your fair share is really what it comes down to. So at what point is it just where it is, I won't use the word sustainable, but
I think we passed that a while ago.
Exactly. Anyway, in any case, we are here Friday. We are here for you and would love to hear from you. We have the phone lines and the text line. It's the same number. It's 805-238-5775. And I'd love to hear from you. We have some topics that are local. There's been some board meetings in the last week since we've been here. A school board meeting, a water board meeting, a city council meeting. Atascadero had city council, Paso, Templeton had a TAG meeting. So there's lots to cover. But let's, Kenny, do you want to start off with the school board? What happened at the most recent school board meeting Tuesday night?
Well,
I tried to go and I wasn't able to go that night.
It was kind of quiet. I was chastised by some of the student protesters for being insensitive, and I'm not sorry.
He has a smile on his face, by the way.
Yeah, there really wasn't much. I mean, the biggest thing that I'm going to start trying to push now that we've actually got some recognition that girls should have their own private spaces. I brought up last week the Mirabelli versus Bonta ruling, and to refresh everybody's memory, on December 22nd, Judge Roger Benitez, great American patriot, ruled against the state of California and in favor of parental rights, saying, no, you can't lie to parents, and no, you can't force teachers to lie to parents. that ruling came out, and immediately the state of California appealed it.
Shocking.
And I don't know what legal term it's used, but they appealed it. Ninth Circuit put in a stay blocking enforcement of Judge Benitez's ruling. And then Thomas More Society, which who is the legal group representing the teachers in Mirabelli versus Bonta, they appealed that up to the Supreme Court. There's some legal term, which I don't know. And that decision from the Supreme Court came out March 2nd and basically slammed the Ninth Circuit because the Ninth Circuit didn't even reference the ruling from last summer, which was Mahmoud v. Taylor. Mahmoud v. Taylor was in a Maryland case in which it was ruled by the Supreme Court that parents have a right to know what's going on in their kid's life. If they don't want their kid to be indoctrinated with trans ideology or LGBTQIA plus ideology, they don't have to be. That was ignored by the Ninth Circuit. So Supreme Court slams Ninth Circuit on the 2nd of March last week. And then California basically appealed back to the Ninth Circuit, seeing if they could get the Ninth Circuit to do anything. And the Ninth Circuit basically said, you guys need to go back and take civics classes because we're subordinate to the Supreme Court. And so the Ninth Circuit had to go and tell the state of California, no, your only option is to go to Judge Benitez and ask him to change his ruling at this point.
Well, last time I checked, the schools, the public school system is funded by public funds. Mm-hmm. Correct. And so the very people who are paying for the schools are ones that want to have the information. I mean, parents, it's not just parents paying for the schools, but when you have a public entity, organization, government, that it has to be transparent. It has to, I mean, there's all kinds of laws and rules in place when you have public funds. So if you have a private school, they can have somewhat of their own rules. But this is a public school district, and it's all across the state. The legal counsel is telling the school districts that they, and it's mostly Lozano Smith, they have, 60% of the school districts in the state of California are represent 60% of the school districts. So when they're saying you don't have to inform the parents of what's going on in the school system, I don't understand how that can be any more clear. Of course they have.
Well, and boiling it down to our local school district, I had a conversation with Mrs. Loftus on Monday and said, hey, everybody I'm talking to that is smart on legal says that it's a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
And we as a district now need to make sure that our policies and regulations are in alignment with Judge Benitez's ruling. And to reinforce that, and because I do know that this district has been complicit in lying to parents, I would like to put a resolution out or a policy. And so I tried to compromise. Mrs. Loftus did send a notice out to all the teachers saying, summarizing the Supreme Court justice decision. And I said, you know, that was a really good letter you put out. This is what this was at the board meeting Tuesday night. I said, why don't we send that out to the parents? And she said, well, we generally don't do that. And so immediately everybody on the board sided with her. We don't need to notify the parents. And I said, no, I think we do. I think
isn't that the point? I mean, that's exactly what's happening with the ruling.
Well, their argument is that we're not lawyers and we shouldn't be repeating what the Supreme Court said. And I said, well, that doesn't make sense to me. All you're doing is saying this is what the Supreme Court said. You're not interpreting it. but they don't want, they being the progressives on the board, and unfortunately it looks like Lauren McCoy and Leo Castillo are going to go along with it, but they don't want anything going out to the parents. So I backed off and I said, okay, we won't send this letter out, but we're going to have to review policies. Are we not? Well, yes. Okay. Then we need to put in the policies that we're going to have a parental rights policy. And everything went quiet. Nobody wants
crickets.
To acknowledge that. But that's the next fight I'm going to have to fight. And I've already got drafts of a resolution and drafts of a policy written up. But I gave them the opportunity to take them the easy way out, and they chose foolishly.
So parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, nephews, nieces, whatever it is, if you have a child in the public school system, please recognize that your child, it's a requirement that they're in some kind of educational program, but you can obviously see why there's been such an increase in homeschooling and the organizations that help parents and whomever homeschool their children. And when we have this now, Paso Robles School District is wanting to float the $220 million school bond. I personally will be speaking out against it. I look at it and I say that is, I looked at the number of registered voters in the district. That's 30,700 registered voters. That is $7,500 per registered voter. Let's do the math. So if you want to stand behind your ideas and your philosophy, and you want to just write a check to the school district, please feel free to do that. But do not encumber the rest of us who do not feel the same way about paying $7,500 per registered voter. That's $15,000 per household, let's say, two-parent household. And all of the people that there's declining enrollment, the test scores have not improved. I want to know, I want some results. I mean, you always give Clovis as being, an example of where a school bond can work. And I just look at this as a sham. It's a sham.
I do have some updates on the school bond proposal. Probably going to come in front of the board in the next month. In one of the two meetings, I think in April is when we'll probably see that. There was a polling company that went out and started calling around, and I had communications with some people that got queried by the poll, and they felt that it was biased. And I forgot specifically what the bias was, but it was...
Don't you think bond would be great?
No, it was the gentleman asked, how is this going to cost me? Is this going to impact my taxes at all? Oh, no, not at all. If it does, it's just going to be a few cents. And so I sent that to Mrs. Loftus. She sent me the questions. The questions are, just like you would expect. Polling right now is about 50-50. And the way the district is going to spin it is, we're right where we were with Measure M, and Measure M passed. And as we know, we're going to need at least 55.1% of voters to approve this.
Or 55.27%, like in Lucy Amar.
Well,
I still have issues with that
okay,
one.
That's
it's all going to come out.
But 55%+ is going to be required in order to get the bond
yes.
measure. And my issues with it are, one, we still don't know what the bond measure money is for. I'm used to coming up with a plan and then saying this is the money I need to execute this plan, not give me $220 million and then I'll come up with a way to spend it, which is the way we're doing it right now.
All right, and we'll go to the phone lines. Welcome to Sound Off. Open Mic Friday. What would you like?
I attended the meeting with Loftus and Podolsky, and of course I knew it was going to be about the bond issue, but also about the budget and so forth. And they kind of evaded one thing. They said the teachers... they've offered 1% to the teachers, but I asked what the CPI was, and it turned out to be 2.3. Well, how are they going to sell that to the teachers?
Yeah, I think there's discussion today between the district and the union. My heart goes out to the teachers.
I know it's.
You can't make a living here based off of what we're paying them. But it's not the district's fault. Now, for those that may have been listening, if they didn't have any paint to watch dry on Tuesday night and they wanted to watch the board meeting on Tuesday night, the teachers are starting to come up with, I think, valid arguments against the district. And one of them, one of the lines of attack the other night was, well, you have an increase in administrators. You have an increase in administrator salaries. And I think we're vulnerable in that area. And I've asked multiple times that the district do essentially a process audit. Let's look at all the people. Let's look at all of our tasks and make sure that we are as lean and mean as we possibly can be and that we don't have any fat in the mix there. And we still haven't done it. I've had this discussion.
Well, Pozowski showed how they were cutting administrators.
Well,
they're cutting teachers, too.
Whenever you have an assistant to the assistant to the assistant, you have too many layers. So in every form of government anywhere, you always have more layers, and it becomes where it's hard to get rid of that position.
Well, here's the defense, and
thank you for your call. Go ahead. And
the discussion that I've had with Mrs. Loftus, I sent her, there was a series of articles in the Epoch Times earlier this year that talked, and the question was, why do we have more administrators than we do teachers? And what was laid out in this article is, in many cases, it's because of legislative requirements. It's legal requirements that are put on the districts and that you have these now legal admin requirements that you have to do, and the teachers don't want to do them. So you have to hire these administrators to do them. And that's a valid argument. If that's the case, what I would like to see is, okay, do the process audit, and let's be able to show the community mm-hmm. that, yeah, we're as lean as we can be based off of our restraints and constraints.
All right. And going to the phone lines, welcome to Open Mic Friday.
Hi, I got cut off before I had my second question.
That was my fault.
Okay.
She was fast on the trigger.
Okay. On the second question is about the bond. He said what it's mainly for is to create a larger multi-purpose room to replace Joey's gym, because Joey's gym has no air conditioning and cannot house the entire student body, and they want something that can house the entire student body. And of course, many a time I've tried to tell them that the gym in Atascadero just has swamp coolers. Swamp coolers work fine unless you have high humidity, and we don't get that many days of high humidity.
Right.
And I think they instead of spending all this money to create this large room, which is mainly what they want to do with the bond issue, just forget it. But I also talked to a longtime person who had done everything in the school system, teaching to being a superintendent, who was at the meeting. And I said, they're not going to sell any bonds unless they get rid of that transistor issues, because the public hates it. And he said, exactly. He said, they got to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Amen.
I agree with you. One of the things that I've argued to the district is the district needs to reestablish trust with the community, in my opinion. Whether it's the issue of parental rights or transgenders in the girls' locker rooms and forgetting to mention that we put privacy stalls in the boys' locker rooms, but not the girls. These are kind of things that affect trust. So that needs to be step number one.
All right.
And keep them out of sports.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you so much. And we'll be going to the break. Please support our sponsors. And Kenny and Darsha will be back after the break. You can call in or send in a text.
If you ever have an accident, just where do you take your vehicle for top-notch repair? I could tell you, but isn't it better to hear from past Davis Body Shop customers? Here's what Kim M. from Atascadero had to say.
What an amazing team. I could not have asked for better service, and my car looked as good as new when they were finished. Patrick took care of me from day one, always keeping me updated about the process and their speedy timeline. I highly recommend them to all my friends and family. Excellent job.
Scott from Atascadero had this to say.
Great body shop. I was hit by another vehicle and took my truck to Davis. The work was done over a month ago and the repair work still looks great. No hidden problems. The truck left Davis in better condition than before the accident. Thanks to Tim and Patrick for all the extra work. It's really appreciated.
And that's why Davis Body Shop is the largest auto body collision specialist in San Luis Obispo County with two locations on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
With the big, beautiful bill comes new tax laws, and for business owners, that means more rules, more details, and more chances to miss important savings. This is Billy Gallant with your locally owned and operated H&R Block offices. We stay on top of every tax law change so your business stays compliant and keeps more of what it earns. From deductions and credits to full business tax preparation, our experienced tax professionals handle it all with accuracy and personal service you can trust. Don't let new tax laws cost your business time or money. Call your local H&R Block office today to make an appointment and get your business taxes done right.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs, just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
And welcome to Open Mic Friday. This is Darcia Stebbins, Kenny Enney, in reverse seating order because I got here first.
So she's driving.
Yes, so I'm pilot in command today.
Or if there are delays or live mics.
I did accidentally cut. Sorry about that, Mr. Gustin.
If you get cut off, it's not me.
You did have a very valid point, though. And during the break, we were talking about some good things that are happening with the budgeting and some good things that are happening at the Paso Robles School District. So it's not all bad. I think in any government organization, especially the Paso Robles Area Groundwater Authority, which we'll get to in a little bit. But any government agency, that there needs to be an understanding that it is public funds, and that's where we have just gone completely awry. You know, when government fears the people.
Well, I coined the term that the public sector in the state of California, they're like trust fund babies. They have the sense of entitlement. And if you ever look at any great story that where, you know, the family business was turned over to the trust fund babies, inevitably the trust fund babies destroy the family business. Stroh's beer is my favorite story. But that trust fund baby mentality is what we have with the public sector unions in this state, whether it's the teachers union or any of the SIEU groups. They have this sense of entitlement, and, you know, we know better than you, Hayseed Hicks, on how to spend your money, so just don't complain and fork it over. I mean, that's kind of the mentality that I see around here. And whose fault is that? It's the citizenry of California's fault.
If we allow it.
Because they've allowed it. It's the apathy in this state that's allowed things to get to the state they're in. I just saw an article before I came in talking about how California now has the worst roads in the union per AAA. And we, you know, our taxes are the highest in the country, but we have the worst roads. We have the worst schools. We have the worst homeless problem.
Where's the money going?
Yeah. Well, $22 million, there was an assistant superintendent in L.A. Unified that just was indicted for helping embezzle $22 million. So But you know, I want to get back.
Scratching the surface.
I want to get back to
the good things at Paso Robles.
Okay. Joint Unified. So this bond measure, they're going to push it one way or the other. I suspect that I'll be the only one that votes against it. I would encourage people to write the board and voice their opposition to it. Because as I pointed out to the board and to the staff, you need that 5% in order to make this happen. And if it's only polling 50-50 right now, you don't have any room for error. And I don't think we've reestablished enough of trust in the community in order to go hat in hand and ask for $220 million or $170 or whatever the final number is going to be. And I would encourage people to write the board and say, look, this is a bad idea. And, you know, it's going to cost, to put it on the ballot, it's going to cost the district $100,000.
It's likely more than that because by the time you have the consultants.
That's the estimate that they've given us is $100,000. And so that's what I'll work with is $100,000. That's $100,000 that honestly we don't have. So the good news stories right now, as of right now, it may change this afternoon because we're in labor negotiations, but as of right now, for the first time in over a decade, the Paso Robles Joint Unified School District has a balanced budget. So that, you know, my hat is off.
It's at least identified.
My hat is off to Mrs. Loftus because that was a pretty quick turnaround. Just last year, they were projecting it was going to be about 4 or 5 years in order to balance that budget. And so she's provided some hard leadership, had to make some hard cuts. I still think we could make more, but, you know, she has gotten us down to where we have a balanced operating budget. And that's something to be celebrated. Now, if we run into problems in the labor negotiation, we may have a slight deficit this year, but it's still a heck of a lot better than what it's been, where, you know, you've got $3, $4, $5, $6 million deficits. You get letters from the state or the county. So that's something good. And that's the track that we should be on, and that's the track that's going to reestablish trust with the community. And so what I've been recommending to the district, and I would appreciate people calling in and giving me their opinions on this. Eventually, we're going to have to do a bond. I don't think we need to have a $220 million bond. I would rather have a targeted bond. Like, we want $30 million to build a CTE facility, or we want, you know, $10 million to, you know, rehab. I'm just throwing this out. This isn't a plan. But, you know, rehab the 36th Street campus to make it something else. I don't know. Whatever it is. But instead of asking, hey, we want $220 million and, you know, we'll figure out how to spend it later, ask for the specific item. So if their big thing right now is, you know, they want to have air conditioning in Gil Issa Gym, then say, we want to float a bond for $3 million and we'll get it done. There's still $7 million left over from Measure M, which tells me they didn't really have a plan. They just went out and asked for money and then came up with a way to spend it. And that's not a good way to do business. And it's certainly not a good way to garner the trust of your community. So, but I would appreciate other people's thoughts.
Well, we're here waiting for your call then, and wherever you'd like to go, this is Open Mic Fridays, so we take the call that comes in, take the text message, and we'll be back about 1:08 after the break.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.